You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's today's message.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Here I am. Sorry to squat down like this, but it seems a little bit low. I need some height on there, you know what I'm saying? Thanks, Matt. I went home to get Linda, and I forgot my Bible, my notes, so I had to go home again. And there were two sheriffs watching me on the way home. I'm not a speeder at all, but I'm like, wow, God, what's going on this morning? So and then the sound stuff, Renee said the sound stuff was freaking out. Anybody else freaking out today? Let me see your hands. We're going to pray for the freakouts, all right? All right, so it's good to be with you, Matt. Thanks for, we're going to do some stuff together. And I told Linda, I said, hey, I got you. And I said, oh, you run in, tell him I got to go back home. So you don't need me. God doesn't need me. But what a privilege to be used by him. Yeah? Amen? So you're glad to be here this morning. Be good to see you. Long time, right, from Grace Evangelical Free Church in Chicago. Just drove by there really now yesterday, coming through Chicago, hanging out down there and remembering good times where God saved us, Linda and myself. Gospel changed us. Our first Sunday school teacher was Bill Dillon, who is the founder of Inner City Impact in Chicago, where I got to be a part of for a few years and hang out and do some teaching. But it's cool to be at Wonder Lake Bible Church. It's great, great for the privilege to hang with our son Matt, who's from Columbus, Ohio. I don't know what he said to you or told you. I was gone. If he said bad things, well, I'll punish him when I get home. All right, we'll ground him. But you know, he's from Columbus. He drove here to lead worship, and that's cool. And we get to be together as a family and do that. So, thanks, Matt, again. So, the gospel is the most beautiful story ever told about the most heroic, courageous, committed, compassionate man, the God-man, Jesus Christ, who ever lived. God in the flesh. Now, you're not going to get all of that. I'm not going to ask you to repeat it. But just think with me this morning. Engage your brains, not that you're not, but just engage the gospel. It's up there. It's the most beautiful story ever told about the most heroic, courageous, committed, compassionate man that ever lived, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And we need to immerse ourselves every day in gospel doctrine, theology, and speak that to one another. That's crucial in our lives. It's essential in our lives. It's necessary in our lives. It's important in our lives. It needs to be a discipline of our lives, the gospel, evangelion in the Greek. It's an ancient word which means a good news story. So I want you to look at one other person and say, the gospel is a good news story. Do it right now. Do it. There you go, the gospel. Linda's looking at me going, Chuck, the gospel is a good news story. Now here's the deal. Ancient days, guys like Nero and Caesars and all of those guys would say, gospel, it's an ancient word, which means good news. Those guys would say, yo, we beat somebody, we conquered somebody. And so they would proclaim it all over. Here is this good news that I've done something great for Rome, for the kingdom, right? Pax Romana, peace Rome, we've conquered some more of the world. So it's an ancient good news word story. So when Jesus came, it was a good news story. The conquerors come. The victors come. The kings come. The Messiah's come. The great shepherds come. The Lord of all's come. The gospel, living gospel, has come. And as believers every day, we need to think through it. Contemplate it. Talk about it. Investigate it. Dig through it. Immerse ourselves in it. Push one another, if you will. Push one another into the pool, deep waters, the mystery of the infinite gospel. We need to do that. And we don't do it enough. It's for our spiritual health. And if we love each other, It's for each other's spiritual health. When I was a little boy, I used to go to a pool in Chicago, drove by pretty close to it yesterday, Portage Park Pool. And it was a 16-foot deep pool, Olympic pool, and there was other pools. And when I was a kid, all these little girls would line up around the edge of the 16-foot pool. Linda may have been there as a little girl, and I was there as a little boy. We didn't know each other, but God had a providential mystery for our lives. Very cool, right? But I would walk behind these little girls as a little punk. I mean, a little brat, a little punk. And my goal is one thing. As fast as I could walk and run by them, push them into the pool of deep waters. Boop, 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 boop. And all, they'd go down. And the lifeguard would see me, blow the whistle, and make me lay down on the concrete for a while and cool off my jets. Until God worked in my life again, I got up and ran by and said, I want you to enjoy the deep pools of the water. And then I would be thrown down again and thrown down again. But I wanted these little girls to enjoy the pool. For the next 2 weeks, this Sunday and next Sunday, I want you to be immersed. I want to push you into the pool of the deep waters of the mystery of the gospel, Evangelion. The most beautiful story ever told about the most heroic, courageous, committed, compassionate man that ever lived, the God-man, Jesus Christ. I want to push you in. I don't want to push you in. You know, some of you may go, I don't want you to push me in. Well, too bad. I'm here. I'm pushing you in. And Pastor Dan asked me to do that. He said, push them. And push them in the waters, the deep mysteries. Ask them to engage their minds and think through this incredible story of God in the flesh and his redemptive, atoning, powerful, righteous work that has transformed our lives. We don't do it enough, and it's important. I had one woman say to me, I don't know, a few years ago, she said, Chuck, you're always wrapped up in the gospel. I said, I'm glad for that. She said, don't you know it by now? You're getting to be an old man. You should have it all down. I'm like, the deep mysteries of God, I've got all down? I mean, think through that. The deep mysteries of infinite wisdom. Some of us think, well, I've been to Bible school, and I've been to seminary, and I've been in small groups, big groups, large groups, all kinds of groups, so I've got the gospel down, where you're lying to yourselves. And I'm lying to myself. We need to never be careless and say, I've got it down. I'm reading a book again called Screwtape Letters. Anybody? By C.S. Lewis? And Ma, I tell you what, Uncle Screwtape is just pumping wormwood saying, yeah, just get those Christians to sit in those chairs, those pews, and let them think through. We've got it all together. We've got the great mysteries of the Godhead down. Explain the Trinity to me. You can't do it. It's a mystery. You can say Father, Son, and Spirit, but you can't do it. Explain eschatology to me, all seven views. You can't do it. Explain soteriology to me and Christology to me and pneumatology to me. You cannot do it. We can do some of it, but in our human minds, which are finite, it's a mystery. And I praise God for the mystery. It increases my appetite and exposes my ignorance and my need of the gospel and the work of the Spirit in my life daily. If you think you've got it, you need to be pushed in. You need to be immersed. Matt and I were working together down in Florida. He was doing worship. I was speaking at a junior high camp. And they said, hey, would you guys play the games with the students? I'm like, sure, what's the game? Well, they're going to have these big garbage cans filled with water and those power sprayer squirt guns. And they're going to have teams and squirt each other and the team that gets soaked the most or whatever. Well, they win. So I don't know if it was Matt or me we were talking about. He goes, I don't remember all of that. I said, well, we did it. You looked at me and I looked at you and said, why are we squirting these junior hires? Let's just pick them up one by one and stick them in the cans. I mean, let's just put them in head first, feet first. I mean, let's immerse these little buggers, right? In the name of Jesus, let's put them under the waters. So I want to push you in. I want to stick you in the cans of the gospel waters. I want you to revolve it in your minds. I want you to leave this place. And instead of, you know, going, well, where are we going to eat? Culver's, Portillo's. Where are we going to eat? Where are we going to eat at? I want you to go. You know, I need to think through the heretic who preached. Do we burn him next week or not? But I want you to revolve. I want you to get excited. I want you to enjoy. Matt and I were talking about it before the service. This whole idea of, listen to this now, you've heard this, one-on-one discipleship. I guess you guys got a booklet or something. I guess Pastor Dan is all excited about it. And a part of that one-on-one is believers getting together, engaging their brains about the gospel, and enjoying the beautiful mystery and saying, Holy Spirit, open up our minds, give us more of this so we can give more gospel love to others. This church needs it. McHenry Free Church needs it. Maranatha needs it. Lighthouse needs it. Crystal Lake Free, where we're members, needs it. That's my ordination. The body of believers throughout the evangelical world of Protestantism needs it. So let's get at it. Let's get pushed and let's get dunked. Did you ever sit in a dunk tank? When I was a youth pastor, they put me in a dunk tank. You sit there and you wait for that ball to hit that thing. And I mean, kids were paying big bucks to dunk their youth pastor. Maybe if we drown him, we don't got to listen to him anymore. And I sat there and they threw. And you just sit there and you wait. You anticipate. I know I'm going under. It's a weird. Have you ever done, anybody ever done it? Sit in a dunk tank? And then that thing hits and down you go. And then you get up again, you do it again. So we're going to be dunked, immersed, pushed. Open your Bibles. Here we go. Romans chapter 1. All right. We're just going to kind of introduce it this morning. Romans chapter 1, start at verse 16. Romans 1 and verse 16. Hopefully you got your Bibles. I know you guys have chair Bibles. You've got the ESV. So if you don't have a Bible with you, reach in there and get that ESV chair Bible, pew Bible, lap Bible, laptop Bible. For those of you who are hipsters, engage your phone to the ESV and do all of that. Romans chapter 1, Paul writes to the church at Rome. Now they are Christians and they're in Rome and they're under the persecution of the Roman emperor and all of that thinking, the pagan world. That needs the gospel. So he writes to them, loves them, wants to encourage them, dunk them, immerse them in this most beautiful story. That's his goal. And, Luther said, Calvin said, the Wesley said, Jonathan Edwards said, George Whitfield said, D.L. Moody said, you get the gospel through Romans and you're on the right road. We know we call it the Romans road. And for some of us, that's very good. But for some of us, we get caught up in, I know the Romans road. I memorize the verses. Well, to memorize doesn't mean you know. You got that? To memorize doesn't mean that you know. So Paul starts out, he starts out and he says, what? Verse 16. He says, for I am not ashamed. How do you think he said it? For I am not ashamed. I think he writes this letter, and in the Greek, there is incredible emphasis. If Paul was speaking the letter, like we have books, on audio, if Paul was speaking this letter, it wouldn't go like this. For I am not ashamed. I mean, he's boasting, he's bragging, he's grateful, he's thankful, and he could never be ashamed of that beautiful story that immersed him, dunked him, and he was still doing it, that transformed his life from a Christian hater, killer, to the most prolific speaker of the Word of God all through Scripture, the Apostle. It's incredible. He was brutal. He butchered families. He applauded when Stephen was stoned. And now he's saying, this gospel, this story that I hated, has transformed me, given me hope and life and joy, and I want that for you folks in Rome where you are being persecuted. For I'm not ashamed, and in the Greek, it would be, I'll never, ever, ever be ashamed of the story that gave me hope and eternal life. Ever. He says, for it is, this story is the power of God, in the Greek dunamis. It's the power of God. It's the firecracker of God. It's the stick of dynamite. It's the infinite transforming power of God. Now watch this. It blew up my life. It transformed me, changed me. It blew me up. It is dynamite. If your life has never been blown up by God's power, something's wrong. If you can't look back and say, you know what? I mean, you don't got to have a specific date, moment, you know, check it off. But if you don't look back and say, I was this way, I got blown up, and now I'm this way, something's wrong. You might just still be a religious person, trapped in religiosity. I go to church. I've been a part of the organization. Paul says it's not about an organization. It's about life transformation. It's about an experience of God's power blowing you up. I've been blown up. And I pray that for all of you. For salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for, here, verse 17, for in it, in what? In this gospel good news story, in it the righteousness of God is revealed. Well, what would that be? Adam failed. He lost his righteous position through his choice of disobeying God. But in this story, good news story, God in the flesh would come, for God so loved the world that he gave his son to do what Adam failed to do. Adam number two would come and raise up a race through his story that would transform people and raise up a whole community called the body of Christ, the church, believers, saints, the chosen, the beloved, to serve him and love a world who desperately needs the gospel. So he says, in this story, Christ was revealed from faith for faith, as it is written. It's all about faith. Watch this. Give me your eyes. Love begins the journey of the gospel. And then there is mercy. And then there is grace. And then there is faith as a gift of that grace, charis. And then there is forgiveness. And a life is blown up and full of joy and hope. And man, it's all about faith, but that gift of faith begins with Ephesians 2 says, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. He's talking to the believers in Ephesus. He's not talking to non-believers, but he's reminding them of this story that blew them up. Us, the we's, us. So important when you study scripture, get the us's and the we's right in their proper position. So he says in it, it's all about this, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. It is an incredible story, a beautiful story, an amazing story. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Turn to it quickly. You know the story of the churches in Galatia, that region, right? A bunch of churches. Right? And that story got to them. Let's look what happened. Paul writes to them. You could hear his frustration. You could hear his anger. You could hear his, what happened to you guys when it comes to this gospel? Galatians chapter 1 and look at verse 6. Paul says, Galatians 1, 6, I am astonished, bewildered in our contemporary terms. I am blown away. I do not get it. What happened to you people that I love so very much? Galatians 1, 6. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him. You are, now I'll tell you what, if pastors got up today and preached like Luther and Calvin and those boys, we're so concerned, oh my goodness, don't say too much, you're going to offend somebody. If you have the wrong look on your face, well, somebody won't like you. Make sure you smile at everybody and make sure they feel loved and cuddly and that they're your little congregation of teddy bears and you're just squeezing them. I mean, he writes this letter and says, you're deserters. Can you imagine a pastor getting up and looking at you guys going, you're a bunch of deserters. You're deserters. That's a military term in the Greek. In the Greek, here's what it means. You have left your post, you've deserted your general, and desertion is punishable by death. Who's the him? It's Christ. Your general you've deserted. Paul says, I'm blown away. The one who loved you, mercied you, graced you, gave you faith, and gave you forgiveness that you don't get his eternal judgment. I'm blown away that you've deserted him. You know how many churches throughout our world today, how many believers have deserted the gospel, have walked away, and Paul says, you're deserving of death. Man, oh man, oh man. If a pastor got up and preached that today, you're going, well, Chuck, you're talking about it. No, Paul's writing a letter. I'm just reiterating and I'm believing in what he says. It says deserters. Deserters. And you've deserted because the Judaizers who say they believe in Christ and that he's come are deceiving you, and you've, here in the Greek it means this, you have voluntarily made a choice, a cognitive choice, to say, I choose this legalistic system of Judaizers over the forgiving freedom and liberty of Jesus Christ. We do it all the time. We do it all the time. We get trapped. You know what you hear? The Judaizers? They were legalists. You don't wear the right clothes. You can't be of the Messiah. You don't play the right music. You don't worship the right way. You don't keep our 613 traditions and laws. Churches today are full of that junk. I mean, they are full of that junk. And we bicker and we fight and we argue. We become Judaizers and we're deserters. Oh, God, forgive us. Through this beautiful story of the gospel, right? Forgive us! He says, turning to a different gospel, not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you. Paul's giving your eyes, Paul's saying, within your midst and coming out there on the inside, there are those who trouble you. They get into the congregations and they cause divisiveness and dissension and disorder because of their legalistic Judaizing thinking. And it happens. I've been in ministry 35 years. What do you think I've seen? Oh. So he writes this out of love. John MacArthur says this. I love MacArthur. Do you love him? I love MacArthur. You love MacArthur? Some people say he's like a general when he preaches. That's all right. It's good. Kind of get it straight. You get the orders, right? John MacArthur says this. There is still a great and urgent need for preaching still, today, now. Preaching and teaching that continually repeats the central truths of the gospel. Now, this is one of the greatest teachers and theologians and doctrinal guys of the day. And MacArthur is simply identifying himself saying, I don't have it all down. He's Dr. John MacArthur. He's got his doctorate. He's probably got 10 doctorates. He's written commentaries, which I love. I've met him. I've sat and had lunch with him. He's an incredible guy, but he's a humble guy saying, you know what? I don't have it all down. I need to preach it to myself. Immerse myself, dunk myself. MacArthur's saying, somehow I need to wrap my arms around myself and push myself deep into the waters of the gospel. I like that about a man who, well, to me, he's kind of one of the heroes of the faith. He goes on, he says this, it is possible, now listen carefully, get this, it is possible for even longtime believers to lose a firm grip on those truths. Longtime believers. You lose a firm grip. You start to slip. We work with camps and we work with teens and we work with adults. We'll be doing a camp. We just got back from a Japanese camp. We'll be doing another camp coming up. Then we're going to a camp in Kansas to speak with a family camp adults. And we just kind of sit and talk to people. We see people all the time who have lost a firm grip on the gospel truths. We love them. I'm not going to condemn them. We want to say, hey, would you think through again the truths and let us kind of push each other in those waters? I do not have it all down. I'm a sinful man. I need the Spirit to help me every moment of the day. All you got to do is ask Linda, she'll tell you. goes on and says, to allow themselves to be weakened, believers allow themselves to be weakened and perverted by ideas that purportedly improve on the pure and plain teachings of the Scripture. Now, I don't want to point the finger too much, but there are a whole bunch of TV guys and radio guys and evangelical celebrities that we're all listening to. We go, I really like what they say. It makes me feel good. I love feeling good, and you love feeling good. And you know what? When the gospel's taught right, I'm feeling really good. Because I'm immersed in the mysterious love of God, the mysterious mercy of God, the mysterious grace of God. You understand? Sovereign grace. It bolted into Paul's life. He had papers. He had warrants to go arrest Christians, drag them out of their homes. He was not a seeker from a seeker congregation. He was seeking Christians to kill. And God blew him up. And here he is, he's still saying, all right, I've been blown up, but I need to keep thinking through. Am I staying on track? Am I getting it right? MacArthur says, you know, improve and pure plain teachings of the Scripture. There are so many out there today who are just messing with our brains, and we coddle those thoughts, and we engage those thoughts, and we allow ourselves to get trapped in those thoughts. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Turn over to that. Here is one of the best guys. All of us would say, wow, look at this guy. It is Peter. Paul and Peter had a little bit of a gospel brawl. You know that, right? Galatians 2, verse 11. Paul and Peter, Peter the rock, Paul the apostle, they had a gospel brawl. And guess who was winning the brawl? Paul was punching and Peter was taking the blows because Peter was wrong. I love Peter. Sometimes I consider myself to be a lot like Peter. I can't keep my mouth shut and I stick my foot all the way down in my stomach. But I love Peter because he was a guy that was courageous in faith. And he said, you know, Jesus, you're out there. I want to walk in the water with you. It wasn't about him. It was about God's out there. I need God. But watch this. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him. Paul says, I said, let's fight. I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Wow. All right. I mean, can you imagine, Matt? I meet you and I say, hey, buddy, in front of everybody now. He did this openly in front of everybody. Be like me looking at Matt saying, all you guys, listen, I'm condemning Matt Paul. I know he's your elder, but he has perverted the gospel. He's allowed the Judaizers to influence him. And once he was openly loving the Gentiles, now because the Judaizers have come, he's afraid of them. So he's what we would say, sucking up to them. And he's walked away from the gospel truths. Matt, what's wrong with you? Boom! Boom! You're going, Paul would never do that. That's what it says in the Bible. He did it. You're going, are you really going to do that to Matt? No. And Matt's not going to do that to me unless he finds out that I've gone off the gospel. And then he should punch in love. It's a loving punch. But he stood condemned, for before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and he separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. Who would ever think that Peter would cave in to peer pressure? Oh my goodness. I'm afraid of these Jews because they don't like it that I'm hanging out with the Gentiles. Peter, did you really eat some piggies? Did you really do that? Well, he says, and he separated himself, fearing this party, and the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas, the encourager, was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, oh my goodness! I mean, come on! MacArthur's saying, people go off. Peter went off. He said, before them all, some people say, don't ever rebuke anybody or correct anybody in front of anybody. Well, all right, I can think through that. But I'm looking at Paul, and Paul's going, if you got a pastor that's gone off and affecting the whole body of Christ, somebody better step to the mic and say something. So he said, before all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile, not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? Come on, Peter! Buddy, love has touched your life, and mercy and grace and truth and faith, and you're going back to being a legalist. What happened to that deal on Cornelius's roof? What about that lesson that you learned? What about all of that, Peter? You're being peer pressured to compromise the beautiful mysteries of the gospel. So if Peter can mess up, can you mess up? If Peter can mess up, can I mess up? And I can be a mess up. Some of you going, amen. We're looking at you going, why do you wear your hair like that? Why do you wear, hey, I'm thankful I got what I got left on my head. Let me enjoy it. Maybe I'll do a little wrap around. We got to go. We got to get done. Listen to this. Tim Keller. I love it that you guys are going through Keller's Catechism. Crystal Lake is doing it too. It's awesome. Isn't it good? Catechizing is good. Matt catechized you this morning. Question, and then you answered, right? It's the way it should be. You know, I mean, maybe, right? So Tim Keller says this, who wrote that catechism. Listen, now, when somebody reads stuff, it's really hard to get it. So, and then we'll wrap it up with this. We're going to do the Lord's Supper, and then next week we'll go to part two of the gospel. All right? Keller says the main problem then in the Christian life. I mean, I hope you're not thinking about somebody you know. Yeah, that's them. Mess ups. I got a few Peters in my circle. I hope you're sitting there thinking about yourself. I'm trying to dunk you. And myself. Doing a self-dunk, a self-push, a self-immerse. I hope you're not sitting there going, yeah, those people on the other side who sit over there, they're messed up. And those back row people, we're the front row people, they're really messed up. I hope the Spirit of God and His love is causing you to think about you. So Keller says, the main problem in the Christian life is that we have not thought out the deep implications of the gospel. We don't want to think about it. That's what Screwtape told Wormwood. Don't let the Christians think. You guys, how many of you read Screwtape letters? How many? All right, cool. The rest of you, get at it. I'm going to get Pastor Dan to get them and give them out to you, all right? It's very, very good. It has really grabbed my brain again. He says this, we have not used the gospel in and on all parts of our lives. See, it's like, oh, I got the gospel, isn't it? Where you ask Jesus into your heart and you get forgiven and then you go to heaven? That's not the gospel. That's like some evangelical clicheing of the gospel. The gospel has three distinct stories. It begins in chapters. It begins in the book of Genesis and it goes to Revelation. We're going to kind of walk through that next week a little bit. So it's the redemptive story here. Listen, that redeems us and then sanctifies us as a process of righteous behavior as we talk the gospel and surrender to it daily. It's not like, oh, I did the gospel. No, the gospel is doing you. I didn't do it. It's doing you. So Keller says, Richard Lovelace says that most people's problems are just a failure to be orientated to the gospel. I got it. I don't need it. When's the last time you read through the 16 chapters of the book of Romans? I challenge all of you to read it one time before next week. And if you don't do it, somehow I'm going to find out and we will get you. You're going, I'm never coming back here again. I'm going to talk to Pastor Dan and say, we don't want him back. He says this, a failure to grasp and believe it through and through. Luther says this. Now, I love Luther. I do a first person Luther. You guys know that. Luther says the truth of the gospel is the principal article of all Christian doctrine. Most necessary is it that we know this article of the gospel. One-on-one discipleship, teach it to others, speak it to others, and then he finishes this way in his hyperbole, and beat it into their heads continually. I mean, Lou, I'm being nice. I'm going to dunk you. I'm going to immerse you. I mean, yesterday in Chicago, that was 98 degrees, 100 degrees. I was like, somebody dunk me somewhere. Luther is a little more aggressive. He goes, you need to have it beaten into your heads on a regular basis. I mean, beaten into your heads. Hey, Chuck, what are you doing? Oh, I'm beating the gospel into my head. What are you doing with Ralph Babineau? I'm beating it into his head. What's Ralph doing to you? Ralph's beating it into my head because he loves me. It encourages me. I ask people, what's propitiation? They go, I don't know. What's part of the gospel? I mean, really explain atonement. I don't know. What's sanctification? What are the three? What is glory? What is that? He goes on and says this. The gospel is not easily comprehended. Most people, Paul says that the gospel only does its renewing work in us as we understand it in all its truths. All of us, to some degree, live around the truth of the gospel, but do not get it. I mean, I love when he says us. Keller is a great teacher, a great theologian, a great thinker, another contemporary hero who is on the front line teaching what the gospel is, trying to draw us back to the central truths of the gospel. But he includes himself and says, all of us. He's a well-known conference speaker and a book writer, but he says, all of us. MacArthur says, all of us. We just kind of walk around it. We talk about it. We cliche it to death. But we don't really get it. So the key is to continually renew and revive ourselves. Speak it to one another through your one-on-one discipleship, which you guys are going to start soon, which you need to be involved in this church, and small groups and mentoring. That's what God wants us to do. It's biblical and it's profitable. It's enjoyable. It's celebrative. It's encouraging. Why not do that? Some people are going, well, a caramel macchiato from Starbucks does that for me too. Well, then you're really messed up. Well, mine's a frappuccino. Well, you're more messed up. Mine's a medium rare steak. I like medium rare steaks. You need it lovingly beaten in. So we're trying to do that. I had a German piano teacher when I was a kid. I mean, a German. German. And when I sat there as a little boy on the piano bench, she would, you know, beat the 4/4 time into my head, Linda. And she would, you know, German. Ein, zwei, drei, vier, ein, zwei. And I would bounce off the chair as a little boy. I go up in the air and I come down, up in the air and I come down. But she was lovingly trying to get me to exercise, discipline. Are you guys with me on this? Next week we're going to look at three chapters. We've got to do communion. It's a little late. Don't tell Dan. He'll go, Chuck, what are you doing? Come on up, man. He'll go, don't tell Dan. I mean, you preach a little long. It's like, you guys are okay with that, right? You good? Next week, three chapters of the gospel. Here, listen, as Matt comes up. Number one, chapter one, paradise given by God with a condition to keep it. It's given to man with a condition. We'll talk about it. Chapter two, paradise given up by choice by man with eternal consequences. Chapter three, paradise given back by God to man with a condition to possess it. Yea, Jesus, yea, gospel. Father, we come to the table to celebrate this gospel story, to eat the bread and remember what you've done for us, to drink the cup and remember what you've done for us. And we want to remember that through you, as we contemplate this gospel story of redemption and celebrate it and commit ourselves to it, as we eat and drink, as you instituted this for us as often as we do, to remember your work of righteousness until you come back. Oh, help us, Jesus, for your sake. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.